Mike Ashley Lake. I'm one of yours.
Improve the Lily White's brand by putting Mike Ashley in front of it.
A winning brand and a winning
brand.
With
no top on. Stage shooter myself, pet.
Do you reckon they just sell coat hangers?
Yeah. Why, aye? It's me size, like.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Gather round. Luke's here.
Turns a bit of Liam Gallagher there, mate.
Gather round.
All right.
James or Jim is here.
You're right.
And Pete's here.
Now then.
Jimmy Savile. let's begin with, who are your favourite footballing brothers?
Oh, the Wallaces, because there was a billion of them.
Yeah, there were loads of them.
Danny, Ray, Rod, Jimmy, Marcus, Pete, Luke and
Ringo,
yeah. And they all play for every club ever made. Every club ever made.
They had their own international side.
Yeah, they did, yeah. What were they called?
No.
Wallace.
Yeah. We're managed by Gromit.
That's poor.
Yeah, I thought it couldn't really sink much lower, but.
Yeah. Well, go on. The Wallaces then.
What, speedy, nippy, exciting players to watch.
Well, how many brothers were there?
Danny, Rod, Ray. Is that it?
I think it was just three, wasn't it?
Was there one other? I can't remember.
Plenty, though.
Yeah, enough. There was maybe more than that.
Enough Wallaces.
I'll be honest with you, Marcus, I haven't done my research.
Danny Wallace.
I was like Alan Hansen doing the Milan derby.
We'll come on to that.
Yeah.
Did Danny Wallace play for Manchester United?
He did, yeah.
He did, yeah. Rod Wallace was the one, though, surely.
Rod Wallace was at Southampton, wasn't he? Or was that Danny Wallace?
Which one of them went to Rangers?
That was Rod Wallace.
Like Danny Wallace.
Rod Wallace played in Champions League. He's got some Champions League goals.
One thing this has taught me is that we don't know anything about the Wallace brothers. Rod, I should never have brought it up.
Speak for yourself. Rod Wallace scored an absolute blinder for Leeds United one season.
You're thinking of the Jonas brothers, Marcus.
Yeah, yeah.
Am I?
Yeah.
Well, it's not the Wayans brothers.
But, the Wayans brothers.
Them as well. He scored a peach for Leeds. He ran it from his inside his own half, took a couple
what,
of plays.
What, Dalian Atkinson style?
Yes, but it wasn't a chip, it was a curler into the corner. But it was
that Dalian Atkinson goal was absolutely magnificent, wasn't it?
Yeah, but we're not talking about
him. I'm just saying.
Find a footballing brother that goes with him and then we can talk about him.
Ron Atkinson.
Doubtful that they're related. James.
I'm going to go for the Laudrups.
Good!
Very, very good.
And that is the right answer.
Michael Laudrup was absolutely quality, wasn't he? I mean, Brian Laudrup was good, but...
I'm absolutely
Michael
beaming you said that.
Was far, far better. It was Real Madrid, wasn't it?
Brian Laudrup is a Rangers hero, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Brian Laudrup, they used to say, what's the difference between a taxi and Brian Laudrup? A taxi only holds 5 men.
Right? I mean, they were obviously instrumental in Denmark winning the year. Was it year 92?
92.
Yeah.
Which John Jensen's not going to have that.
Didn't even qualify, did they?
No.
They only got through because someone else had to come back.
Yugoslavia.
Yeah, that's right. Political reasons.
And yeah, and I mean, obviously.
And also, though, in 98, they got to the quarterfinals of the World Cup. And it was they were knocked out by Brazil 3-2. And it was. I mean, it was 2-2, obviously, and Rivaldo scored like a 25-yarder. You know, it wasn't as if Brazil...
Which won on the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It needed something special. You know, they were a very good side. Mm. Yeah, Brian Laudrup was magic. Absolutely brilliant. It's a shame that he never... He came down to Chelsea a little bit too late in his career.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was a shame.
Which was back in the time when players only really came to England when they were a bit older.
Yeah.
Do you remember that sort of time? Zola did that as
Casiraghi.
Well. Casiraghi.
Yeah, but Zola was still class.
Oh, of course he was. Listen, I'm not saying that, Marcus. I'm not casting this
person. Ravinelli and Viali.
Has-beens.
Pete?
I was going to go for Steve Howie and Lee Howie.
Lee Howie?
The Sunderland and... one played for Sunderland and one played for Newcastle.
Imagine their Sunday lunches.
Imagine.
The names even sound like a weird.
But I'm afraid I'll have to go for the Amiobis. There's three of them.
There's the three of them. Play.
Really? Shola, Tommy and Sammy.
Tommy Amiobi.
Tommy plays in the reserves for Newcastle.
Yeah, well, no, Sammy does. I think one of them's left to a fairly decent championship club. But what I would like to show you Sammy Amiobi. I've got it on the computer here, right? I think that Sammy Amiobi is... Shola Amiobi trying to have another crack at it as a youth player with a wig on. Have a look. Look at that.
Exactly the same.
Look at that.
Those twins Man United have got look interesting purely because they just look exactly the same.
Yeah. Someone told me a really funny story about identical twins once. So there was a pair of identical twins at my mate's school, yeah? And they were having a bit of an argument. And one of them said, get your ugly face out of my face! And that was in Romford, apparently, as well.
Of course it was. I'm going to go for the De Boer brothers.
Ronald and Frank. Yeah, yeah, good choice. Both play at the top level.
Exactly.
One of them's played for Rangers as well.
Ronald.
What's that? Picking Rangers strikers.
You were the one who picked the Wallaces.
You picked the Loudrops. You picked the Loudrops, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
Did any of the whole Weirs play for Rangers at all?
They were both very average defenders, and I believe.
Well, yeah. Answer the question.
John Terry's got a brother who plays for Yeovil.
Yeah, he'll be at Rangers.
Paul Terry, isn't it?
Paul Terry. Because didn't they get each other in the Cup a couple of seasons
That's
ago?
That's right, yeah. The Touré's.
Yeah. Yeah, Touré's a younger brother, defensive midfielder for Barca.
Absolutely.
Mm. Like, Colo's not been decent for about a year now.
Apparently, I read it recently that Yaya Touré's been told by Pep Guardiola to forget about any move to Arsenal because he really wants to go and play with his brother.
Really?
That's what I read, yeah.
Really?
And just concentrate on the job in hand.
Mm. I mean, that story's been about for literally years, isn't it? But
it's an easy one for a journalist. Yeah, if you put yourself in a journalist position, you can. It's the same with the old Vieira to Pompey under Adams. He's put two and two together. Doesn't matter if it equals six. It fills column inches. Another man who fills column inches is Marcus Speller.
Why?
I think you should leave the links to him.
Yeah, sorry.
I've got to actually mean something.
See, Jimmy, now I've realised, now I tried to do one, how difficult it is. and I won't chastise Marcus in future.
I appreciate
I don't believe that for a moment.
Yeah, that second bit's not true.
I appreciate you, suggesting that I make headlines, but let's be honest.
No, not...
You did make a headline once, didn't you? When you scored loads of goals in a game when you were a kid. What was it again?
No. It was when... I wasn't a kid. I was 21 years old. And it was for Guildford Saints, and it was in the quarterfinals of the Cup, and the little headline said, Marcus spells trouble.
How many did you get?
No, it was a 3-1 win, it was 2-0, you know. But it was enough.
To get a headline?
Yeah.
Did it have any quotes from the great man, or...?
Well, I'm just not interested.
No? Yeah. A bit of a Paul Scholes.
I said, what's that? You're not world soccer, and no, I'm not interested.
Yeah. Happy with my charity work.
Yeah.
The Milan derby, gentlemen... Did you watch it? Did you see it?
Did. Yep. See it. Yep. It was a good game.
Second it was really was good game. Yeah, really good game.
Inter really let Milan back into it. Inter were sort of bossing it to a certain extent, and then the second half they really came back into it. It's a shame to see Dybeck go off with a hamstring as well. Yeah. That was a shame.
What is all this Dybeck? Is that what the Yanks
just roll with it. Just roll with it. It's not J-Lo, isn't it? Dybeck. Yeah. He's in LA now.
How come Pete Doherty doesn't have that kind of privilege?
He started calling himself Peter Doherty.
But can we call you Elmo from now on?
Yes, by all means. J-Cam. P-Don. Emsper.
I've missed out again.
Yeah. If we ever move to Hollywood, if we ever relocate to Hollywood, mate.
Shall I stay behind?
Yeah. Mm.
Hold fault. Mm. No, I thought it was a really good game. Adriano, definitely handball. Pato?
Pato, yeah.
I really rate him.
He's quality.
Really exciting player.
Although the commentary team seemed to have only have heard of him that day. He's very young in this old squad, in this huge, prestigious game. Will he handle the pressure? He's been around for long enough.
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
He's Milan's top scorer this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think he'd be okay. Adriano, I mean, there was someone in the studio that wasn't handball.
What?
They're off their heads. Hodgson was saying it because he loves Inter, belatedly.
Yeah. And
Hodgson
used to manage him.
Well, exactly. Hodgson does know his stuff, so I'll spare him any sort of...
And he's just breathed a sigh of relief there.
Alan Hansen
looked lost, didn't he?
He was a disgrace, man. Didn't even do his research. I don't think he just got told. He was like driving along at like 5 o'clock. Oh yeah, can you come in and do the Milan derby?
Well, he was like the big player, wasn't he? Because like the other two, they don't get on BBC television very much. But
Jake
he was
like
sort of
is like
in.
The CBBC football man, isn't he?
He is.
He's a disgrace.
But like they said that, well, he said at the end they were going. I could watch a lot more Italian football.
Yeah,
it's like. Thank you for broadcasting it.
Yeah.
It's not something that just got invented at Christmas. It's been around for ages. Jake Humphries is like...
That's been one.
Alan, did you see... that was a good shot there, wasn't it? It was like... Yeah. No, it was like someone who...
Serie A has been one of the leading leagues for centuries.
Yeah.
Decades.
In the court of Henry VIII. Yeah.
Since back in the days where the opposing captain was killed if they lost.
And the ancient Romans will back me up on that. But, no, for decades it has been. It has been. And, I mean, only relatively...
Italy, the world champions.
Yeah.
Simple as
that. Why did they choose to broadcast this? Where did they get the rights from? How did they
suddenly
just sort of go? Just because of D-back.
Yeah, yeah.
It was good though, wasn't it? It was interesting to see a foreign game on the BBC. I think they should do it more often. Like, but actually take it a bit more seriously and.
They fucked up the sound in the first half.
That was absurd. Really?
You texted me, didn't you?
I text Marcus after about 15 minutes saying, I knew they'd find some sort of way of fucking this up. and they didn't let me down. I think that, like, as you rightly say, and the point to make is that it's great to see Italian football on telly again. Exactly. That was the only thing missing.
Yeah.
And,
what was it? De Caccio. Cappuccino.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
yeah. And the thing is that they just didn't put any research in at all. You know, Alan Hansen admitted the only time he's seen Inter play in the last like 5 years was against Liverpool in the Champions League. and his opinion on Zlatan Ibrahimovic was. He didn't play very well in the two games against Liverpool, so he can't be a very good player.
No, but he's not, is he?
What an idiot. Do your research.
I thought Maldini was looked a bit slow.
Yeah, he did, yeah. But you can't say that.
No, you can't.
We're not having that. He's just got in the Hall of Fame. You did drag him back out by his collar. Hold on a minute, Paolo.
But you've got to realise, it is an incredibly long walk to that Hall of Fame, right?
Exactly.
He's only just got there, and they're asking him to play in a flipping derby.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? I'm surprised.
Imagine the pressure he was under. He knew we were all watching. He knew.
Fabio Capello's England lost their first game since the last one. against Spain.
They did.
Yeah. But you see, people were going, oh, football's rubbish last night. You know, that was obviously the day after it happened.
That was the man in the street, wasn't it?
Yeah. I thought, no,
football's
it wasn't.
Football's rubbish. all about it.
Bloody foreigners.
Yeah. Beating us at our own game.
Taking our footballs.
It wasn't, though. It was, don't get me wrong, it's not like, oh, that was amazing. But we did okay, considering it was a makeshift side. But you're playing against the best side in the world at the moment.
They completely bossed it.
Pass the ball better than probably anybody in the world at the moment.
Yeah.
They're magnificent.
It's an absolute lesson.
Pep Guardiola laughs at your claims. He laughs in your face.
Well, he shouldn't do, because a lot of his players are playing in that Spanish
side. Good point, actually, yeah.
So he can spot off.
Even know why I said that.
Yeah. But I thought England did okay. They did create a couple of chances. It was a shame Carlton Cole never scored at the end.
Beckham's
nice.
Pass was sublime.
Yeah, Beckham. It was encouraging.
Who, sorry,
D-Beck.
Yeah, thank you. What are you talking about then? Well, I've only seen it.
But Beckham came on and he looked like the player of a bit more of old. You know, he was really up for it to the point of, I think, he got booked because he was so pumped up for it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
He was arguing with the referee, but the second half was a little bit pedestrian, you know. And yes, Spain did dominate for most of the periods of the first half. But the two England goals were mistakes, really, and could have been stopped.
The way I see it is, my take on it is that, you know, will you learn as a unit and as a squad and as a manager from playing a friendly when you're given the opportunity against, you know, I don't know,
Switzerland
Austria
at home
yeah, when you win 4-0?
No,
or
you
will
won't.
You learn when you lose 2-0 away to Spain?
Exactly.
You're going to learn more from losing.
Absolutely.
Especially against them, we were putting it into space and they were just playing it. It didn't matter how many men were on, I don't know, like...
Pesky or
whatever
something.
However many men were on the Spanish players, they were just passing into them. And it was just it was incredible.
But for a change, you know, usually Heskey is the kind of battering ram who can hold it up and do stuff. Spain dealt with that quite easily.
Yeah.
And I think the thing is, it is encouraging because Capello will look at that and he'll say, right, we were a little bit... sloppy there, we were short there. Mm. This is, you know, whereas McLaren would be like, oh, well, lads, we just weren't fast enough tonight or something, you know.
Didn't have enough passion.
I think that is the thing, isn't it? It's this whole, like, attitude still sort of in certain quarters that, you know, we've got to win every game for the Three Lions. You know what I mean? It's nothing to do with that. Just treat it as it is, a friendly, a chance to learn.
I mean, Phil Jagielka's never played.
Of course.
Before,
and it's a good chance for the squad to get together, and the training is important, the camaraderie,
they'll
all that
have a
sort
bit
of
banter.
Stuff.
Yeah.
You know. Rio Ferdinand, they'll be doing some merkins.
Yeah.
You
know, he was ill, wasn't he?
Oh, was he? Yeah. Bless him.
He was the one who was murked.
Yeah.
By Mother Nature.
By the influenza virus.
Did you see Italy v Brazil?
I did. Fantastic game.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
I had to walk home from five-a-side football because it was going on. Just whistles. Whistles on Holloway Road.
Why did you have to walk?
Because it was so busy.
I couldn't get on a bus, and I had a really bad foot. I'd done in my foot something.
It's not
chronic.
About you, Pete. It's about the beautiful game. speaking of the old Brazilian game,
yes.
Robinho and Elano ran the show.
Mm. They were great.
Yeah, against the world champions. Okay. And then when they went down to Fratton Park, they looked like they'd never seen a football before.
Mm.
Mm. Robinho didn't break into a sprint once against Portsmouth.
No.
I mean, and as a Pompey fan, I thank him for it. But I mean, what is going on?
I didn't realise Manchester City was so high in the table, especially after that result. You know,
they're doing it right.
How bad they're...
Yeah, they're brilliant at home. They're brilliant at home. I think they've only won one game away all season.
We're talking about Man City. We've got an email from Alex from Berkeley, California, and
a learned listener.
Exactly. Yeah. Moaning about Mark Hughes ballsing it up at City, as it's put in
it's
there.
It's a bit harsh. Mm. It's not exactly an easy job.
Massive moans about Craig Bellamy being signed and signed.
He's been a good signing.
Craig Bellamy is exactly the kind of player City need, I think. And I know we said this on the last the signings they made in January were actually very, very sensible, because you've got to build gradually. You can't just like step up to being some sort of team that can include a player like Kaká. And I mean, Robinho's an anomaly in that side.
Yeah.
And I think Hughes is, you know, doing what he can, and he's got a lot of pressure on him from the board and
from
everywhere, more so than any other manager in the league. So, I mean, it's tough, and maybe results aren't going as they'd hope, but I think he needs a bit more time, really.
Well, I agree with you, and I don't think, to be fair to Alex, with respect, I don't think you can judge players who... Sort of, I mean, Craig Bellamy's the sort of player, and I agree with James, and I think another reason I agree he's a good signing is because he stretches the play. He gets defenders running back against their own goal.
Yeah.
And he's always scored goals on the Mark Hughes. It's very early for him yet, but he's already got a couple. You know, Wayne Bridge has not played an awful lot, and it's very early days. He's only been there a few weeks. You know, literally a few weeks.
Yeah.
You know? So you can't judge him. Yeah, he was a lot of money, but you've got to write the fee off. It's like when Chelsea had a load of money. It's, you know, the fee doesn't really matter. Wayne Bridge is an international class defender, in my opinion.
Mm.
You know, so that's a good signing as well. You know, so they had to replace... what are they going to do? You know, mount a Champions League challenge with fucking Michael Ball at left back.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to take it into account. I don't think it's fair. And the last thing Mark Hughes needs is fans getting on his back, because away from home they're poor. I mean, he can't do it for Robinho and Elano. He's proven himself as a good manager. He got that job at Man City because he's a good manager.
He never even signed Robinho.
He didn't know anything about Robinho. You know, he can't do it for him. Robinho's still their top scorer this season. He's still got like 12 goals or something. You know, it's difficult for him. It's not going to be the thing with Mark Hughes, and the way you can tell it's a difficult job, is because everything he does pretty much will be seen as a failure.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
If he doesn't win the league next season, he's probably going to be sacked.
Mm.
If he doesn't get in the top four, you know. So
it makes you realise that when Chelsea suddenly had loads of money, they actually handled it very, very well. I know they're in a better position because they already qualified for the Champions League. But they did. It was a real seamless transition to being a sort of top side.
I think we mentioned that last time. But yeah, no, it's a
they
good
had a
point,
manager so. Who was used to spending money at Ranieri, and then they moved on to a new manager.
I mean, thank you for your email, Alex.
Absolutely.
But I think the boys are in a bit of disagreement with
you. We're always pleased to receive emails from listeners, but it doesn't mean we have to agree with it.
Tony Adams and Phil Scolari are the latest casualties on the ever-growing list.
And Joe Kinnear is in Casualty.
Zing.
Wow.
Oh.
We actually said that
point
was
to Pete Donaldson.
Did we say?
Yeah, Luke said.
You're a ghastly.
He has a history of heart trouble.
A ghastly prophet.
He's under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
You know.
Well,
obviously. Well, what I'll say is, what I always say when a manager's sacked after this amount of time, regardless that. It's, no,
whoever
it's,
it is.
Nothing to do with the fact that I support Portsmouth. You know, if you hire someone as a manager because you say in the press and you say to them they're the best person for the job, okay, 3 months later, 3.5 months later, if they're then not the best man for the job, then you should carry the can because you hired him.
Yeah.
You know, if you've just hired him because you can't afford anyone else, which I think is what happened, right, why have you sacked him? Who are you going to get in, you know? Adams has never... We still don't know whether Tony Adams is a good manager or not.
And you can't judge
someone.
And that's the sad thing. And yet again, another English manager has fallen by the wayside, and because he's been sacked, he might not get the jobs in the future, you know?
Mm. Yeah. And he's going to have to start off again in the lower leagues, isn't he?
Yeah, it's a shame, you know, and Scolari's obviously gone as well. I know that's not a young English manager.
Well, we actually touted Scolari. We said it could end in tears, because he's never managed a club outside of Brazil.
But this is just... We've said it once before, and we've said it again. This is what happens when you get football, you get people who are not football guys, they're money-making guys, they come in, they don't care, they want results, they treat it like a business, and it isn't.
If I was Luis Felipe Scolari, when I knew what was going to happen, I would have smashed Peter Kenyon over the head with my World Cup winner's medal and said, what have you ever fucking won, you bald prick?
He won the Champions League, didn't he?
He got
a Champions League runners-up medal.
Yeah.
Disgraceful. Bobby Charlton said... He said, you lead him up the front, and Bobby Charlton was like, no.
Yeah, Bobby Charlton sort of said, I don't want the medal over my neck, didn't he?
He was like, I didn't play.
Peter Kenyon was like a fucking whipping. he couldn't get one quick
to
enough.
Celebrate losing.
Peter Kenyon's never even played a five-a-side match, I'm willing to bet. No.
Peter Kenyon sheds his skin, I'm willing to bet.
Well, there's talk of Peter Kenyon going to Man City to replace Gary Cook.
Oh, seriously,
that's
what I read
in the news, yeah. And I just think that, you know... You can't make... Because apparently Abramovich made this decision to get rid of Scolari, and he went over Kenyon's head. He didn't even consult Kenyon. Mm. Okay, so...
Abramovich has lost a lot of money, incidentally.
He has.
40 million $6 billion, isn't it?
Yeah, he's
lost 40 million in compensation payments.
just over £6 billion.
It's a lot of money, isn't it, by anyone's
standards.
According
to a business magazine we shan't name, because I don't know.
I just think, you know, Scolari, you've got to give him time. Is he maybe not signed as many players, he's lost players, you know.
Talk that there was a bit of unrest in the dressing room, but John Terry did say myself and one or two others had the back and gave him the back.
Well, I can't help but think without sort of getting on Uncle Albert about it. Maybe 20 years ago, if a couple of players went to the chairman and said, we hate the manager, they get a clip round the ear and told to get on with it. The manager's the boss. If you're the manager, you're not coming with me, then fine, we'll put you on a transfer list and we'll move on.
Is it a bit different? No, but I'm saying Terry was supported Scolari.
Well, that's big of him.
And, you know. Terry came out and said, I don't think it's a good decision. I think that.
And what is he going to say, Marcus? You've got to read between the lines.
No. He doesn't have to say anything there.
But he's a club captain, so he has to say something.
Yeah, but if he comes out and then says to the club, who have just sacked someone, well, I actually would have given him the backing.
Oh, well, I'm not casting aspersions over Terry's character. I've never met the man, but the fact that he's a club captain, he has to say a certain amount.
Feel free to cast aspersions over Terry's character.
No,
okay.
You're not listening. You're not hearing me.
Piss in the toilet.
Yeah.
Terry...
For starters.
Yeah. Terry's saying the club has made the wrong decision.
Yeah.
So then you said, well, he's club captain.
Well, that's not how I understood it. He didn't actually say that. He said one or two players were unhappy with the manager's conduct and how the manager operated. I wasn't one of those players, and that's all he said. He didn't say anything more than that, really.
Are you sure?
I would guarantee you that he wouldn't be saying the same behind the scenes as he is to the press.
Well, all right, okay. We'll let that one go.
I'm not saying... It's not... John Terry's got to say something, you know. You know, and he said they made the wrong decision, but you know, he was pretty non-committal about it. You know, he wasn't outraged. He wasn't like, I'm going to hand in my captain's armband and I want a transfer. I'm not outraged, because he doesn't care. The bottom line is the players have all the sort of control and all the power, don't they? It's true, though, isn't it?
No, fine.
I mean, sort of hark back to Brian Clough again. Look, Brian Clough ruled the club.
Shithouse.
Exactly. He ruled the club he managed that. And everyone has to get on with him. He was the main man. And that's the way, and you've got to admit, that's the way Mourinho ran things at Chelsea as well.
Yeah, he did,
No one was a bigger ego than him. And that's how he got a way of managing these players, even though he's never played the game before.
Mm.
You know, so it's a shame.
It's food for thought.
If nothing else.
But the trouble is, though, I mean... With regards to all these managers getting sacked and so on, you know, and everyone goes, oh, well, it's ridiculous, it's not given an amount of time, and then everybody moans there's no English managers, there's no players coming through, there's no this and that. If you let money men come in and dominate the leagues, this is going to happen. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, the Premier League... The Premier League and the FA, I mean, the FA are a little bit sort of dothering and stupid at times, but you have to say that they must have the game at heart for this country.
Well,
you know, they've
got too much control of the Premier League, mate.
Exactly. There lies the problem. Look at the SFA in Scotland, and the SPL are arguing, because the SFA are asking the SPL, the Scottish Premier League, to put back the fixtures so they have more preparation time for the away match against Norway, I think it is. And the SPL, well, we'll have to go and think about that. No, there's nothing to be thought about. Yeah. Your national team needs another half a week or whatever
to
it is.
To get over the hangovers.
To sort themselves out and your and your country to give them a better chance of qualifying against in a tough game.
They've got previous of that, haven't they?
They're having to think about that. Why are they thinking about that?
It's for the good. It's detrimental.
You see, and this is the trouble. Our national team has been suffering for this because the Premier League is just out for the Premier League. Team in lower league who deserve a little bit of credit is AFC Wimbledon.
Yeah, I mean
they got shot up, haven't they?
They got sold at the river, didn't they? By That long-haired chap, not James. It was a long-haired guy, wasn't it? He looked a bit like he belonged in the theatre. I mean, and then he sort
or
of
the circus.
He took over Wimbledon and moved them to Milton Keynes. What was he all about moving them to Ireland?
I know the one you mean.
Yeah. Disgraceful, isn't it? I mean, you hear about that in America with sort of different franchises
yeah.
moving around.
America.
It's just like. You can't move a team.
No, yeah. Yeah. That's right.
It's like moving a town.
You can create a team, you can create a town even. Yeah. They did it at Milton Keynes.
Yeah.
But you can't do that with a team.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I think I see the point you're trying to make.
Thank you.
AFC Wimbledon, they start off at the Combined Counties League or something. They've been promoted four or five times.
Yeah, they're very low.
And now they're 6 points clear at the top of the Conference South.
That's a magnificent achievement.
So in a couple of seasons, feasibly, they could get into the...
Well, they'd do what the Wimbledon evolved.
I'd love to see that.
That'd be awesome, wouldn't it?
It'd be brilliant.
I mean, I'll tell you what it'd be. It'd be really good, because people say that sort of thing that happened at Wimbledon, a lot of people hark back to that and say, that will never happen these days. Yeah. If it did, that'd be awesome.
I'll tell you, one team who did, it wasn't to the Dizzy Heights of Wimbledon, because obviously they were in the top flight, but Wickham Wanderers came up through the league.
Yeah. Mm.
You know, they
under O'Neill.
Well.
Mm. O'Neill did a lot for them.
Well, he did a lot for them, but I think the process started before that, I think.
Well, the unfortunate thing is a lot of teams do go the other way, like Oxford United.
Well,
it
is a shame, yeah.
And Cambridge United, that sort of thing.
Mm. But, I mean, it would be absolutely magnificent to see AFC play
Wimbledon, or MK Dons. The MK Dons are the championships, aren't they?
Yeah,
second.
Yeah. They've got Roberto Di Matteo as their manager. I think what would be good, because I've not seen him play a game, and I would very much like to, but they've apparently got really good fans. They get 3,500 every week, which is bigger than most conference sides. Yeah. They've had 3,500 since they started, and apparently they have a good time. And because you know that FC United, they've got a really bad reputation, haven't they? For being like...
A bit leery.
All they do is sing songs about Man United, apparently. It's just really boring, and they tear it up, and I don't think they fully understand the point that if you, as Jimbo always was a fan of pointing out, if you're a PLC, you are up for sale. There's one thing you are, is up for sale. Just get on with it, you know? Wimbledon, but
Manchester United have... the Glazer business and so on, but they've still built a legacy there, and they are a huge club, and... You know, whereas Wimbledon...
Well, I think they've been irreparably damaged by FC United taking the business away personally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, but hats off to AFC Wimbledon. I was tempted to give them a round of applause, but I don't want to get people confused and think they've been inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Maybe in a few years.
That's one thing to aim for, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I said before about Maldini, it is a very long road.
Yeah.
But just that speck on the horizon. That could be them.
I would imagine they'll put a recording of this show in the dressing room for the next game, I would have thought. Yeah. A bit of motivation, isn't it?
Well, the next few seasons. Nicholas Bettner has come out and said that, the direct quote is, I should start every game, I should be playing every minute of every match and always be in the team.
Before the inevitable caning, which is going to get given, has that been lost in translation? Because I don't know the context of the quote. Is he saying...
That's a direct quote, Luke, he didn't say any more.
Yeah, but is he saying that if I work hard, I should be in the team? You know, or is he saying, I should be in the team every week?
It sounds like he is saying, I should be in the
team
every week.
Well, he wears pink boots, so I'm not going to give him the benefit.
Well, this was off the back of Adebayor's injury.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of space in the team for him to come into there. And
it reminds me of when Adebayor came on... And they had a bit of a scuffle because Adebayor came on and said to Bettner,
I'm only on because you are so shit.
Yeah.
But he also went on.
I love the idea of a player being put out by actually having to play. I was going to have a night off, Bettner, but you're so shit, I'll have to come on.
The brilliant thing is that Adebayor scored as well.
Yeah, he did.
He went up to Bettner and go, this is what he's fucking doing.
Yeah.
What's this like, you know. Top four footballer in arrogant shocker.
Yeah. He's particularly bad though, Nicholas Bettner.
He said
this isn't the first time he's sort of come out and spoken about how amazing and brilliant he is.
But he was saying he doesn't know much about Arshavin, and he said, I've never seen Arshavin. I did not watch Euro 2008. I've no idea what sort of player he is. He must know what kind of player he is.
That's got to be bollocks. I mean, Wenger would even have probably played him a video or something. So this is how he fits in or something.
I kind of hope he hasn't.
Yeah, I do.
But he's also
going to get a shock.
But he's been at training for a week or so, Arshavin, or was he injured? No, he's not injured. He's not injured.
No, be at training.
Yeah. Oh, Bentner, you mug.
Yeah.
You're never going to be in the Dean Wenders Hall of Fame at that rate.
Or ever, I'd imagine.
No, you've got to sort your scoring record out first, pal.
Yeah. He's guilty of missing some absolute sitters, Nicholas Bentner.
He just doesn't really look. The weird thing about Bentner is he doesn't even look like a player to fit into that Arsenal side.
He's
a slow, leggy, sort of rangy player rather than a quick, crisp.
He's missed a couple of penalties as well, quite notably, as I recall.
With his pink boots.
His big, stupid pink boots.
I mean, he is a good player. And I think there's more to come from him. But
oh, you'd hope so. He's still a young boy, isn't he?
I'm not sure he's going to really cut it at Arsenal.
I don't think he's an Arsenal player.
I think he'll flourish somewhere else, maybe. But
Newcastle,
not...
maybe. They'll get his career going.
I'm not sure the verb to flourish, is particularly synonymous with Newcastle United. No.
I'd like to mention David James, who set a new Premier League record of 536 appearances.
With a clean sheet as well.
Magnificent.
Lest we forget.
Mm. Yeah. He had a great save in that game.
He's a magnificent man.
Yeah, wasn't great for England, though, was he?
He's got a good personality, James. That's why I like him. Yeah. My favourite all-time bit is when you...
I thought you were addressing me directly then, and I realised that you weren't. I felt really included, and now
you
feel
also,
a bit alienated.
But I like my favourite off-the-pitch moment of David James is one you were talking about, which is when he almost got murked by Rio Ferdinand, and he just sort of went, oh, what do you know about art? He was absolutely gutted. But fair play to J-Mo. Hey.
My favourite David James moment was when it was last season or the start of this season when they were away to Blackburn and the Blackburn fans were giving him a load of stick behind the goal, and I think Portsmouth lost 3-0 and Blackburn had a penalty and he saved the penalty and he turned around and went "Ray!" like that to them, and sort of celebrated, like just messing around as if to say, come on. And they all went mental at him. It's like, no, come on, you've been slagging him off, give him a, you know,
Northern. So, there's your explanation.
Don't
I remember being in a Hartlepool crowd when Arsenal came to play Hartlepool, and David Seaman had just left his wife. Where's your wife? Where's your kids? I mean, really close to the goal. It was great news.
It
was a lot of fun.
emails. There you go.
Thanks, Luke. Thanks very much.
Can you take this a bit more seriously, Luke, please?
Because the rest of us are.
Unbelievable.
Here's the first one from David Flower. It says, oh, hello, Football Ramble. That's becoming a bit of a theme now, isn't it? Just been watching the BBC's coverage of the Inter versus Milan derby. They failed to include, when they're talking about Paolo Maldini, they failed to include his highest honour, which is the induction to the Dean Wenders Hall of Fame.
That's a good point, actually.
Again, they should have done their research.
Yeah, David Flower, I can't agree with you more there.
Good point. Maybe it's just news may not have filtered through through the relevant news channels that he's been inducted. It is a big deal, so it does take a while to confirm it.
Well, you know, Alan Hansen probably didn't read it in Shoot magazine, so...
Yeah, so thank you very much, David. Another email here from James... He's put a grateful listener.
Sorry. He's a grateful listener. Oh, that's great. Not a town, no. James, grateful listener.
Hi guys, hope you were well. That's very kind of him. He agrees, James Richards.
Well.
Are you not?
He's not ill.
I haven't been to sleep since Thursday. It's horrible.
Blimey.
Sleepless for like losers.
I think that's one of those rhetorical questions.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't answer.
I've got a bad foot.
All right, we know about your foot.
I'll answer on behalf
of us. Frankly, James, we're in a right old state.
Yeah. he agrees with James Richardson, should be back on the TV. He says he's an Arsenal fan, and he was a Huddersfield Town fan, but he lost faith, but he hopes that...
What?
We're not going to look down on him.
I fucking am going to look down on him. What does he expect?
Yeah.
Next. Where's he from?
We're not having that. Next. Hang on a minute. Is anyone else taking exception to that? I was a Huddersfield Town fan, so I lost the faith, and now I'm an Arsenal fan.
Yeah, where's he from?
Grateful listener. I said, but he's just outside Huddersfield.
Yeah, we're not. Sorry.
Yeah, you lost us there, pal.
I do apologise. Yeah. It's harsh, this.
Maybe it's a harsh show, but maybe it'll convince you to get yourself back to the Alfred McAlpine Stadium.
I've seen Huddersfield play away to Palace once when I was there. Don't know why I was there.
Probably see him play more time than James.
Yeah. Marcus Stewart was playing for them at the time.
I remember Marcus Stewart, a decent spell.
Huddersfield's
well.
Best ever player?
Was he?
Who?
There's no point in asking James.
No, I'm asking you. On you and you.
Who?
Dennis Law.
Oh, good one. Good.
Come on, switch on.
Yeah.
Ramblers. After watching a terrible West Ham take on a mediocre Borough on Saturday, in particular, watching the worst performance from a striker in a long time, Diego Tristan.
Poor Tristan.
Come up with a question. Who is your favourite fat footballer? Well,
we've already done that.
We have covered that. But he says, OK, well, if you've already answered that, then answer me that he's
listened before.
Yeah. He obviously listened in his sleep, because he can't remember it, but he thinks psychologically.
Yeah. I bet I have a safety net question here. Yeah. That's what he's thought when he's been typing it out.
And he's right. the question is, who's the biggest wanker out of Robbie Savage, Andy Burton, or Peter Kenyon? Keep up the good banter, Sean.
Kenyon all the way.
Kenyon because he represents a genuine threat to the game.
Yeah.
Whereas Burton's just a bit annoying, and Robbie Savage is going to retire soon anyway, so...
Peter Kenyon is a reptilian, disgusting, disgraceful parasite of a human being. Yeah.
I once watched an England match.
And we sent him some hair and he never got back to it. Rude as well.
Yeah.
I once watched an England match with Robbie Savage.
Did you?
He was sat on the seat next to me.
Did you talk to him?
No.
Did he celebrate when the other team...
Hasn't Robbie Savage got a jacket with his name on it?
Well, we all do. We all write it on the label.
Like his parents put it in the back. he's got an Armani tattoo, hasn't he?
Just because he likes the symbol.
He's a poor man. The way I see it is that people like Andy Burton and Robbie Savage are just you know, annoying little flies buzzing around the dog turd that is the game of football. Whereas Peter Kenyon actually made
Peter
that
Kenyon's
turd.
He's got a mouthful of shit.
He's trying to scoop it up and put it in the bin.
And serve it to you for 50 quid.
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to do. As part of a brand. It's not a dog turd, actually. Yeah. It's actually a fecal matter brand that I think you should all subscribe to.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. Does he even speak like that?
I think so.
He's Chinese.
He's the archetypal fat cat. So
there's nothing he
that.
Does well. He can't even grow hair. Bastard. Anyway, next one. Dear Ramble, I was disappointed that Steve Lomas wasn't mentioned during your ginger section on the last podcast.
Good shout.
As he was a truly great ginger footballer. Mark Pembridge is another one.
And he got that boner, didn't he?
Hang on a minute. Hang on. Don't mix in on the emails.
Don't steal his thunder.
All right, this is not my thunder. This is a listener's thunder. They're all ramblers, in my opinion. Yeah. They're all my babies. Okay? As David O'Leary once said. I was wondering if you guys remember the moment he got so excited after scoring a goal that he got an erection. Or is it something that I have made up?
It wasn't even that.
Also, have any of you guys ever had a football-related stiffy? Possibly one of the greatest questions we've ever been asked. Regards, Jonathan Bogart. Now, I will say, actually, right, he's put... That is his name at the bottom, but I can quite clearly see from the email, it says, from Tom Moss. Tom Moss at... Well, I won't read the rest
Tom Moss at...
It's going to be Hotmail or, I don't know, Google Mail. Just pick one.
Well, listen...
I'm not saying...
That's an ill-advised last-minute choice for a pseudonym. what he should have done is just kept his real name. What's going to happen? What's the worst that can happen if we read out his actual name? Tom Moss.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Steve Lomas. Yeah, that is a good shout. Do we have any football-related...
Well, on the Lomas thing, strangely enough, we were talking about it recently, Lomas is stiffy. So it's either an urban legend that everyone's heard...
It was on Fantasy Football League quite...
If it was up there...
He sort of jumped in the crowd and was going,
He just had this raging horn in his pants.
I'm pleased that he gets that excited.
I was at a Hartlepool match and I was quite young, and there was a St John's ambulance lady who came on the pitch to help somebody had fallen over or something, and she was foxy. So that's
I got a football related stiffy.
I don't think I've ever got a football related stiffy.
To be honest,
no, sorry.
I'm not as prolific as Steve Lomas, though. So
if a ball hit you in the bits, surely the priapers and the blood would rush to the.
The aforementioned area,
and surely you might be able to get a lob.
Well, let's try it after the show.
Personally, I don't think we've got enough time to answer that.
Move on.
We've tried. Hello, Ramble Boys.
That's
good to play you last week in the five-a-side match.
Oh yeah, we had another five-a-side game.
We did.
We didn't advertise it because it came along last minute, and by the time it had been organised, we'd already done a show, and then we had this show, so we played in between. So.
Yeah, we didn't have our very own Pete Donaldson playing, though.
And we missed his physical presence, it must be said.
I missed him.
He was injured.
He had a bad foot.
But this is from Matt Riley. He says, we should have won it after being... It was about 18-all.
Well, talking through the game then, Marcus, because you're talking through actually what happened. You can do a brief match report.
Okay, well, last time we played a group of listeners, we hammered them. Let's be honest. Mm. This time, they went 1-0 up, and we thought, hang on a minute.
Hang on a minute.
You know, the drugs testers had gone home. We thought, well, we're just going to have to see what happens here.
Yeah.
So we carried on. We got into a good position. We were about 4 goals up. Then we started making a few silly errors. And then we found ourselves, after playing what seemed like decades of football, it was 18-all.
And we only had the bare five as well. We played for an hour and 40 minutes and we only had the bare five.
Yeah.
Because Pete was injured. So, he let us all down.
So the cry
His
of
foot
right,
let us down.
First to 20.
Yeah, first to 20 it was, yeah.
And as Riley, as we now know the good man, he said we should have won it after being 19-18 up in a first to 20, but we didn't man Mark Marcus because we will not learn. His words, not mine. His words, not awesome. Mine.
I mean, when we went 19-18 down, I remember thinking to myself, well, at least we haven't advertised on the show. No, we can just not talk about it.
I feared.
But we emerged victorious.
I actually made a save with my balls in that game. Yeah.
I literally put my balls on the line, boys.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
That's great.
Pete, take note.
Did you get a
take note? The what? Commitment.
Well, if anyone can tell me how to fix my foot, I'd love to.
I told you before, we have doctors down here.
Yeah. Well, Riley goes on to say, anyway, if there was a five-a-side tournament between the leagues of Europe, notably the Prem, Serie A, La Liga, Bundesliga, who would win and which players would be in the team? Well, he's given us his own.
Can I tell you what my La Liga team would be?
After I've read this,
okay, the back would just basically be all Barcelona.
Hang on, he's put in Casillas in goal, yeah. Cannavaro, Daniel Alves, Messi, and Villa.
God, Daniel Alves, Messi, and Villa would be ridiculous. It'd be impossible to play against.
For Serie A, he's put Buffon, Nesta, Pirlo, Kaká, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic. For the Premiership, he's put Friedel,
yeah,
Ferdinand, Fabregas, Ronaldo, Torres.
You can't argue with that, really.
No.
And then in Germany,
Bullard, maybe.
A little player I'll introduce to you boys that could probably go in that Premier League side. A little player called David Nugent. He's just slot in there.
And
nicely.
Then Germany's put Lehmann, Lucio, Diego, Ribery, and Podolski.
But you just need to. You just
to be honest with you, I don't think I disagree with any of that.
Well, the Germans ones.
German ones very strong.
Well, Podolski's not playing. He's about fourth choice for
maybe Tony in there.
Lucio's not been that great either this season. Ribery's been different class. Lehmann for comedy value, I'll see that. I'd probably have...
Closer. Get his head on the ball.
Closer's getting the side ahead of Podolski at the moment. Yeah, so. Yeah. That's pretty interesting stuff, isn't it? Imagine lining up for a five-a-side game and playing against, like... It'd be unbelievable. Yeah, it'd be so tough.
And the ramble in there as well.
Yeah, the ramble, definitely.
We'd slot in. But thanks very much for that. That is the emails.
Yeah, what we should say probably is if you do want to play us at five-a-side, it'd have to be in London, but we're happy to play any time we can feasibly organise it. So, you know, feel free to email in at the usual address.
Which is podcast@thefootballramble.com.
Emails.
And now it's time for James or Jim.
Yeah, this is my hilarious news roundup of the events.
Am I right in saying it gets more hilarious by the show?
You are right.
Yeah.
Let him introduce it, at least.
Just bigging him up, giving him a bit of confidence.
That's fine.
Before the kick-off.
Okay, Sunderland striker Michael Chopra has been unceremoniously dumped by his wife on Facebook.
I saw this.
According to reports.
She's quite nice as well.
She sounds it.
Sounds very classy.
For a man with no neck.
Chopra's wife of 7 months, Heather Swan, is said to have let her husband, who is currently on loan at Cardiff City, know their marriage was over by changing her status to single on the social networking site.
Oh, bloody hell.
Chopra has responded to his wife's actions by updating his own Facebook page with the words, "Heather will have a new number tomorrow, ha ha," after cancelling her mobile phone contract.
It's petty.
Yes.
Yeah. It's all about a little victory, isn't it? Am I right in saying he's got no neck, but she's called Swan?
Yes. Ironic. Things have been simmering ever since Michael went on loan to Cardiff. It's all pretty childish. A source is quoted as telling the Daily Mirror. Chopra and Swan, who have a one-year-old son together, first separated just 4 weeks after their marriage.
Won't someone think of the children?
Exactly.
Let's not give that the press. There's children at stake. Children's lives at stake.
Right.
Get yourself a neck.
Yeah. Next one. Cops were called to soccer star Didier Drogba's home after his wife had a dust-up with a cleaner dust-up.
See what he does?
Good. Excellent.
That's what you pay the sub-editors for.
Absolutely. Candy Price refused to leave the £24 million Chelsea striker's mansion until she was paid £430 in wages. 32-year-old housekeeper said she walked out the day before after becoming fed up with the couple's demands. When she went back for the money, Candy claims Drogba's partner, Lala Diakite, refused to pay. Candy then sat in her car with the pal outside the £4 million house in Oxshott, Surrey.
The thing is, if she'd only asked for 400 quid, then surely it's a legit. Just pay her.
Yeah.
He gets about 100 grand a week.
Eventually, Mama Free Lala, whose husband is paid £115,000 a week, called cops. Candy of West Drayton said, "All I wanted was the money owed to me. Drogba's partner kept telling me that she would put it in the post, but I knew she didn't have my address. Two representatives from Chelsea arrived first and asked me to move. They then left and the police turned up." So people from Chelsea come round before the police.
It's Kenyon.
They've got something.
Yeah, I blame
just
Kenyon.
Just horrendous racketeering scheme.
Kenyon's like the cigarette-smoking man in X-Files.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Just pay her. If she was trying to extort money out of you, she would be asking for more than £400. Yeah. Just pay her for the work rendered. Words foul, Marcus. He's not normally speechless.
He's just going,
write a check.
Yeah. I'll put it in the post. Is she going to fall for that one? People have been using that one since the 80s.
Yeah.
Who uses a check anyway?
Charlie Rami Obi doesn't.
I use a check the other day.
Not anymore.
I used a check the other day.
What were you buying?
No, I owed someone money.
No.
So he's out here as well. A cleaner.
Yeah. Was you sat outside your house?
Shut
get
up.
One of the ramble staff to come round.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, Luke.
That's all right. I was firm but fair.
You always are.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is player profile time. Here we are, nearly at the end, so don't worry. Did you hear that Raul has now got the scoring record for Real Madrid? 309 goals.
Great goal as well, the one that sealed it for him. I don't know if any of you saw it.
A lovely little goal.
Was it against Gijón?
It was. Sporting Gijón. Yeah. That's right. But whose record did he break?
Alfredo Di Stefano.
Well, some call him the greatest player of all time, the most complete player of all time. Well, here he is. He's only turning up in the Ramble Hall of Fame.
Di Stefano.
Yeah, Alfredo Di Stefano.
In you come.
In your face.
Yeah.
You hover in the doorway
exactly.
For a bit and then we'll usher you in.
you're in the lushly carpeted, well furnished waiting lounge.
Yeah. The lobby.
But if you will, his nickname, the Blonde Arrow.
Oh, nice. I'll be happy with that. That was me because I'm blonde and all.
Yeah, but like,
I'm blonde and all.
Arrows have no hair on them.
Well, it's a good
confusing.
Point. We'll let it go for this. It's Di Stefano. We'll let him have it.
Yeah. We're talking about the greatest player of all time here, Peter.
Yeah.
He was born on July the 4th, 1926, Independence Day.
He's still alive, isn't he?
He's still alive.
Yeah.
You know, July the 4th.
But Jimbo, he's won the sperm race.
Again, yeah.
He's a winner.
They're all winners in the Dean Windass Hall of Fame. They all won that sperm race. They kicked the shit out of it.
Exactly. He was born in Buenos Aires in Argentina. Argentina? That's near Argentina.
It's a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
That's right. And so that's where life began for Alfredo Di Stefano, the Blonde Arrow. At 12, he joined a youth team called Los Cardales, and later he won the amateur championship for them. While 15 years old, he joined the famous River Plate side of the 40s, and he was in their second team at the age of 15. At the age of 16, he had earned himself a place in their first team squad. That's a magnificent
stuff. Yeah, well done.
River Plate, that was a very famous River Plate side in the 40s, and heralded as one of the great Argentinian sides. For River Plate, in 65 appearances, he scored 49 goals.
And this is at the age of like 16 or whatever.
Well, but he began to get into the first team at the age of 16, and then obviously went on. He won the Argentine Championship with them in 1947, and they averaged 3 goals per match, with Di Stefano getting a third of those goals. In 1947, he was top scorer with 27 goals in 30 games.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome stuff.
Absolutely.
Where did the arrow himself to next?
See what you've done there. In 1940...
Where did the bow of professional football fire him to next?
So at the age of 16, he'd earned himself a place in the River Plate first team. However, they loaned him out to... I'm going to have a go here. Hurricane side. They loaned him out there. He played 25 games for them and scored 10 goals. He then came back to River Plate. 1947 was a great year for River Plate. They won the Argentine Championship. They averaged 3 goals per game, and he scored a third of them. Yeah. Scored 27 goals in 30 games. A magnificent achievement, I think you'll agree, John.
At the age of, like, 17 or something.
He was very young at the time.
Yeah.
In 1949, many of Argentina's top players moved to Colombia in their so-called Pirate League. It was outside of FIFA's jurisdiction, so no transfer fees were paid, thus the clubs could afford to pay a higher fee. Because at the time, Argentina, they went on strike there.
Yeah.
So they had to move abroad. So he's gone all the way up there to Millonarios. And
they were a famous side.
They were a very famous side at the time. And in 292 appearances for them, he scored 267 goals.
Good lad.
Yeah.
Football was a lot more attacking back then. We do say that every time, but you still got to
play. Like, teams would play with like 5 up front, wouldn't they? You don't get that.
You still got to put it in the net, though, Jim, don't you? Yeah.
Exactly. So that obviously that caught the eye, funnily enough. In 1953, he'd established himself as the best player in South America at the time, and the Millonarios went for a pre-season tour or a tournament in Spain, and they played a lot of the Spanish sides, including Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And they won the tournament. And this attracted a lot of attention from the Spanish teams. And a certain Santiago Bernabeu, who was the president at the time in Madrid, yeah. made inquiries.
He's got a name like a place.
He does. A stadium, you might even say. And he was like, We're having some of that,
yeah.
indeed. And
Blond Arrow, come and stay in my quiver. Was maybe what he may have said.
That's right. There was a bit of controversy around the transfer to Real Madrid because apparently Barcelona had got him and then they hadn't, and one thing another. But the point is, he ended up at Madrid, and for a fee of around about $70,000,
wasn't it? Didn't it come to an agreement at the end where Real Madrid was going to be in Spain for four seasons and he was going to play a year off and on for Madrid and Barcelona?
Well,
and Barcelona was like, nah, sod that.
I think there was, there was a lot of controversy, and I think...
Imagine that happening.
I know, this is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Exactly. So he became an official player of Real Madrid. So the day after, he played in a Spanish league match, which happened to be Real Madrid versus Barcelona.
Oh, really?
And Real won 5-0. And De Stefano scored 4.
So he was, and obviously he was one a big part of the devastating Real side that won about 48 European Cups.
Well, I think it
was
they
won five European Cups.
They
but
did, yeah.
To be fair, there were only like four teams.
Well,
the game I know most is the Eintracht Frankfurt. He had a great partnership with French Puskás, who's also another one of the all-time
Raymond Kopa was in one of those sides as well.
It's only a matter of time before Frank Puskás gets a little
absolutely
gets a little call up.
Isn't it? But he did have the highest tally.
DWHOF, Pete.
Yeah.
Dwarf.
Yeah. He scored 49 goals in 58 matches in Europe, and that was only surpassed by Roll in 2005. And then Shevchenko, and then Ruud van Nistelrooy in 2006. But as you said, the highlight.
So I just wanted to say, if you were like a footballer, like, and you loved football like we all do, and you were lucky enough to become a professional footballer, and you started breaking these records, I'd almost feel a little bit guilty that I'd taken the record away from like an amazing player. Because it's almost the way you remember these players, like De Stefano and Puskás, is because of the records they set. And once they get those records beaten, it's a little bit of a shame, isn't it? You know what I mean?
It's like that's gone. No.
Yeah, you've taken away from it. Because I remember reading about, I think it was like Linford Christie who said, they said, would you rather have a world record or would you rather have a gold medal? He said, I'll have a gold medal because you can never get it taken away from you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a bit like that. That's why I suppose they want to win titles all the time. I think
absolutely.
And you expect the greats to stay there as examples for others. But if you remove that record, obviously you're putting yourself up there. But say if Puskás lost those records, future generations wouldn't hear about him.
Exactly. And his memory wouldn't be as prevalent, which is a shame.
Mm. No,
obviously taking nothing away from Raul. He's a fantastic goal scorer.
Yeah, no, agreed. You said that perhaps the highlight of his time there was the 7-3 victory over Eintracht Frankfurt in the 1960 European Cup final at Hampden Park.
That's right, yeah.
And
many
consider it to be like the finest exhibition of
defensive football ever.
Yeah. It really is quite something.
Make a European Cup final sound like a Sunday Park game?
Yeah.
7-3. Yeah, 7-3, yeah, yeah.
They won 5 European Cups off the bat, 56, 57, 58, 59 and...
60.
And 60. In 64, they reached the European Cup final again, but they were beaten 3-1 by Inter. And that was his last major game for Real. And then he moved to Espanyol and scored 19 goals in 2 seasons for them.
Was he knocking on by then, was he?
He was knocking on by then. In 1966, he had to retire through a back injury at the age of 40.
Oh.
Still going strong.
Robbed. Maldini's like, what?
But his style of play, we must say his style of play, he's obviously a forward.
It was all over the place.
But he was all over the place. Pace, power, stamina, vision, he's just reading of the game. You know, he was an artiste.
Hmm.
You know, and his versatility. I mean, Bobby Charlton watched him once, and Bobby Charlton, he was like, who is this guy? He takes the ball from the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And it just happens.
Yeah.
You know, he just paints a picture, you know. I don't think, you know, we talk about other great players who are wingers or forwards, who are great goal scorers or playmakers and all that. This guy is just a whole... It's almost as if he was on his own doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It really was absolutely incredible. There would be never a player like him, and that is why he's the most complete player of all time.
He played football for Argentina...
Colombia and Spain. Yeah.
Well, I was going to move on to his international career. Yeah, but this guy was just, he could play, I mean, talk about total football, he was doing it himself pretty much.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely magnificent player. But yeah, you're right, Pete, talk about his international career. He played for Argentina, living in Argentina. He only played 6 games for them, but he scored 6 goals. and he won a Copa America with them, South American Championship.
6 games in the Copa America, that's not bad, is it?
and he, when he moved to Colombia, he played 4 times for Colombia. It wasn't recognised by FIFA, and it was a little bit different back then, so he turned out for them. He didn't score for the Colombians, though, but then when he moved to Spain, he got Spanish citizenship, and he's played 31 times for Spain and scored 23 goals. Sadly, he never played in a World Cup. Argentina refused to participate in the 1950 World Cup, and then Argentina didn't enter the 54 World Cup, so he couldn't play for Argentina, obviously.
They've let him down there.
They have let him down. It's it's their fault.
Yeah.
And then in the one that he was... in Spain, they failed to qualify for 58. And then in 62... he had an injury which prevented him from playing, which was a real shame.
Gutting.
Real. Yeah. After playing, he moved into coaching and he coached.
He managed Real, didn't he?
A whole host of teams.
He managed Real twice, I think.
Valencia, Boca, River Plate, Lisbon.
He won the title with Boca, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Oh, he did loads of things, didn't he?
And he's a life president of Real, I'm right in saying.
That's
that,
right, yeah.
He didn't really take any years off either, did he? There was only like a couple of years where he wasn't managing up until like the 90s.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. And he finished Real in 91. He's now 82 years old.
He's still knocking around, though, Pete. Mm. He's still always welcome.
He was kidnapped, wasn't he, at one stage?
He was.
But he was released. It wasn't
after about 3 days. What was that? Apparently they treated him really, really well.
Was that in Venezuela?
We don't want to do this.
Yeah,
Venezuela.
He was a tour of...
Venezuelan rebels or something like that. They kidnapped him for a few days and then they let him go. I don't know what their demands were.
They just wanted to meet him and have a bit of fun.
They wanted to go and knock out Wem, didn't they?
Maradona had this to say about the...
Should we end on a quote from Maradona?
Well, I've got a couple of...
Should we end every show on a quote from Maradona?
Yeah.
Maradona said, "I don't know if I was a better player than Pelé, but I can say without doubt that Di Stefano was better than Pelé. I am proud when one speaks of Di Stefano. I can say that Maradona could be worse than Pelé, but I emphasise Di Stefano was better."
He's just
knocking Pelé!
Tying us up in knots, isn't he? He's letting the tortoise get away there, Jim.
He is letting the tortoise get away. He should give the dog its face back.
Yeah.
It should do. But Di Stefano himself says, a soccer game without goals, because obviously he scored an absolute hat for us. A football match without goals is like an afternoon without sunshine.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? But if I end with him is quoting saying, "The ball gave me prestige, gave me fame, gave me riches. Thank you, my old friend. Because of the ball, I have a wonderful family and a son that plays football."
Oh.
Alfredo Stefano. Get him in.
Alfredo
Stefano. He's going to make that. He's going to make the Dean Windass Hall of Fame really tick.
Just give him all sorts of credit.
They're going to have to pull their socks up. Especially Dean Windass and Dion Dublin. They're going to struggle to get in that side now.
I like to think when Di Stefano walks in, they're all going to sort of straighten their backs and do their ties up a bit straight and say, "Oh, the blonde arrow's here." And he always hits his target. Sorry to cheapen the great man and the great footballer with a series of ill-judged puns.
That's fine. Well, that's the end of the show, people. Hope you liked it. If you'd like to email us, the address is podcast@thefootballramble.com. We have a myspace.com/footballramble, which James is doing a fantastic job on, I may hasten to add. Luke, agree with me?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%, nice. Boss.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff on there. We have a group on Facebook. And, of course, we have our website, which is thefootballramble.com. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, James or Jim.
Bye.
And goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, Luke.
We're all off to put pins in a voodoo doll of Peter Kenyon.
But why bloody not?